Well, let's do a little scripture surfing. Last week in your worship bulletin, you found the area scripture surfing here, and those were the passages of scripture that if you really want to grow in the Lord, this is His phone. If you want to hear from the Lord, you want to hear His voice and communicate with Him all week, you got to saturate yourself in His Word. That is life. And last week, you had your assignment here in the scripture surfing in your worship bulletin. And so, as you read through those scriptures last week, we've been surfing through them all week, haven't we? Wednesday, we surfed through Monday through Wednesday. Right now, we're going to surf through Thursday and Friday's readings of last week. And then tonight, we'll surf through Saturday and Sunday. And then here's next week's readings for you right there. So you may want to tear that off or cut that out, put that in your Bible. Let that guide you for this next week. But let's surf a little through Wednesday and Thursday's readings of last week. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 47, and we'll look at 47, 48, 49, and 50. Look at Isaiah 47. If you're new at this, there's a Bible right next to you in the chair beside you. Just pull that out. And Isaiah is just open the Bible to the middle, and then you go to the right just a little bit, and you'll find yourself in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 47. And I'm just going to share just a couple of things that stood out to me through these readings. Isaiah chapter 47. Let me turn there myself. Now that is where Isaiah 47, that's where we're going to dive down. Through all these readings, there'll be three different times a week we dive down and we have a whole message involving a passage of Scripture there. So 47, in just a few moments, we're going to dive down there. But where we're going to dive down is God says, I will turn mountains into roads. He's talking about for those who follow Him, for His people. He'll turn mountains into roads. And we're going to look at that in just a little bit. And then in 50, chapter 50, God says, because of your sins, you were sold. And you just think about that. Isn't that the truth? Because of your sins, you were sold. What happens? Our sin is just slavery. It just leads us into slavery. However we sin, we get in bondage to those things, to those sins, those thought patterns. And then he mentions the prophet was talking about turning his cheek, and the sovereign Lord will vindicate me. That's just like Jesus on the cross. What did he do? He was silent. He was like a lamb before his shears. He was silent, and he just trusted the Lord to take care of him. And then in 51, God says that the heavens will vanish and the earth will wear out, but my salvation will last forever. And God says the same thing about His Word, too, you know. All this is going to pass away. The heavens, the earth, everything that you see, it's going to pass away. But salvation, that'll stand forever. And His Word will stand forever. It'll never pass away. It'll never be changed. And then in 52, God says, He mentions how beautiful are the feet of those who share. And we know that from Scripture. How beautiful to God, how beautiful are the feet of those who share His Word, share the Word of the Lord, share the good news, share the gospel. God says your feet are beautiful when you do that. And then let's turn over to Matthew. And if you're new at this, that's going to be in your New Testament, the last third of the Bible there. That'll be the first book in your New Testament. Turn with me to Thursday's reading was Matthew 17. Let's look at 17 and 18. The thing that stood out to me in 17 is Jesus is transfigured in 17. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And so here's another side note. Hey, Moses gets to see the promised land here. You know, he wasn't allowed to see the promised land while he was living because he was disobedient. And but hey, now he's seeing it. Moses is back here on this Mount of Transfiguration. He gets to see it all here. And then in 18, God talks about the children here. And he says in 18 verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change," here's a word to all us adults here, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." And listen to this. Listen to this sobering verse. In verse 6, we better treat these little children that God are so precious to God. We better treat them well. Look at verse 6. "But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Wow. All right. Well, that's surfing there. And then we'll surf some more tonight through some more of these. But let's go ahead and dive down a little bit here. And turn with me to Isaiah, back to Isaiah 49. Don't doubt His love. Don't doubt God's love. Well, we know He didn't want us to doubt anyway, period. And don't doubt His love. We see that in this passage of Scripture. You ever doubt the Lord? You ever doubt Him? You ever doubt His promises? Something that He said, something you know Scripture says, but you come in a situation and then maybe you hear some little voice in your mind or your heart, your spirit or your head, and it just throws something out there and you doubt. You ever doubt God's Word and His promises and what He tells you in His Word about what you're going through, your circumstances in life? Well, John the Baptist doubted. You remember that? I already talked about the disciples doubting on occasion, Jesus having to rebuke them because God loves faith. He didn't like doubt. He loves your faith. And you see Him work according to your faith, not your doubt. The one who doubts, it's like a wave on the sea. He shouldn't think he'll receive anything from the Lord, it tells us in James. But we need to believe. Believe. You see, John the Baptist doubted. You remember, he found himself in prison and he was the forerunner of Jesus. It had been prophesied here in this book, Isaiah, that there would be one that would come crying out in the desert, in the wilderness, make way for the Lord. And he came on the scene. That was John the Baptist. And God even specifically told him, He said, "The one you baptize in where the Spirit comes down on him like a dove, that'll be the one. That's the one I'm sending. That's the Messiah." And John even saw it. He baptized Jesus and heaven opened up and he heard, there was a voice from heaven and the Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. So John had everything he needed. He knew, but you know what? He found himself in prison. There were some pretty bad circumstances. Found himself in prison, and I suppose you'd call it doubt. He got some of his disciples together, and he said, "Hey, go and find out, is this the one? Go ask him, you know, Jesus, is he the one that was supposed to come, or should we expect somebody else?" And so John's disciples go out, and they ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we expect somebody else? And Jesus says, oh, go and tell him that the dead are raised, and the sick are healed and the blind see. And Jesus just mentioned, I'm paraphrasing all this, but Jesus just mentions all these miracles. Oh, go tell him all that. Let him decide. Jesus never said, "Yes, I'm the one." Didn't he see the dove? No, Jesus just said, go tell him what you see. Go tell him the miracles. He needs to decide. Let him decide. Were you ever there? You ever like John? You ever doubt? Well, you know, you can pray for faith. Faith is from God. Faith is a gift from God. You can pray, God, strengthen my faith. I pray that all the time. Lord, strengthen my faith. 10,000 times, Lord, give me more faith, strengthen. I pray that all the time. And you know what? Faith comes from hearing, God tells us, and hearing from the Word of God. If you want to increase your faith and diminish your doubt, just read the Word of God a whole lot more. Just take this little scripture surfing and just read all these passages all week long. Just saturate yourself in the Word of God. You'll see doubt just leaving and you'll see faith just coming. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. When you're in the Word of God, God just builds your faith. He just strengthens your faith. The more you read it, the more He reveals Himself. The more you see Him, the more you hear Him, the more you know Him. So read His Word. Hear it. Anytime you have the opportunity, make opportunity to hear it, see it, read it. And then you can also be like the guy. You remember Jesus was with one guy that doubted, and the man said, Lord, if you can do anything, would you heal? And he talks about who he wants Jesus to heal. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for him who believes. And then the man realized his doubt. And he said, Lord, I believe. Please help me to overcome my unbelief. You can pray that prayer. That's a fantastic prayer when you're doubting. When you're doubting one of God's promises, what a prayer. I love to pray that. God, Lord, I believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief. He'll honor that prayer. He'll honor that prayer. Well, let's notice a few things in Isaiah 49, 10 through 16. Listen to what God says here, but first let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would strengthen our faith, Lord. Lord, take doubt from every one of our hearts and minds and souls, and Lord, usher it out these doors and into the streets, and Lord, please get rid of it. Keep it far from us. Strengthen your faith, Lord. Give us your faith and strengthen our faith in you. And right now, Lord, get me out of the way. Let us hear your voice. We need to hear your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to God. Listen to his word in Isaiah 49, 10 through 16. Here's what he says. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion on His afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Well, we notice, backing up just a little bit, we notice in verse 8 and verse 9, who is this to? Who is God talking to? This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign in desolate and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. Here's who's going to receive all these blessings that God's talking about in what I just read in 10 and following. Here's who's going to receive all those blessings. God says, in the time of favor, I will answer you. Well, you know, if you're a believer, you're in the time of favor. God has favor on you. You see, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, for it is by grace. And the word grace means it's God's free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy that He just pours out upon you continuously like a waterfall. Not by anything. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. That's grace. God just gives it to you freely. His grace. That's His favor. It's free. It's unearned. And you see, God extends it to you. And if you receive it, if you repent of your sins and you believe, and you trust God, you believe what He did for you on the cross, you put your faith in Him, He comes to live on the inside of you. His Spirit gives birth to your spirit. You become His. You become His child. And you see, you are in His favor. He puts you in Christ, so to speak. You're in Him. And so it is the time of favor for you. It is also the day of salvation, is mentioned here. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. That's when God will do all these things. Well, you found the day of salvation. If you find that, if you turn to Him, if you repent and you turn to the Lord, you find the day of salvation. And then in verse 9, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. You see, that's what you were. You were a captive. You were in darkness. But you see, once you hear that good news and you repent and you turn to the Lord, all of a sudden, He gives you eyes to see. He brings you out of the darkness and into His glorious light. He sets you free from the power of Satan, the devil, and He brings you into the power of Himself. And you become a child of His kingdom. And so this is for you. This is for you if you're in that category. If you're not, you need to get there before you leave today. Come and talk to me after the service. If you say, well, that's not me. I don't think I've really repented and really trusted in Jesus. I don't think I'm in His favor yet. If that's you, come talk to me after the service, please. You can leave here instantly with that. But in verse 9, to say to the captives, come out. And to those in darkness, be free. We see this. God in the flesh, Jesus, standing before Lazarus' tomb. Lazarus' good friend has been dead for 4 days. Jesus stands before his tomb. And what does he say? This is what he says. Come out, Lazarus. Come out. The dead man raises up and walks out. And Jesus says, take the grave clothes off of him. Jesus raises the dead. He sets people free. He says, come out. Come out of that darkness that you're in. I don't know what your darkness is. I don't know what you need to be free from, but you need to hear God telling you that this morning. Come out and be free. He has the power to do it. If you'll trust Him, if you'll go to Him, if you'll give yourself over to Him. Well, here's the truth in this passage of Scripture that I read earlier, verses 10 and following. Here's the truth we want to recognize today. Three things. The Lord loves and cares for you. That's one of the truths we need to recognize today. The Lord loves and cares for you. We see that in verses 10 and 11. He loves and He cares for you. You see, He meets all of your needs in Christ Jesus. Verse 10 and 11, they will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads and my highways will be raised up. You see, He will meet all their needs. The greatest need you have is food and drink and shelter. He says they won't hunger and thirst. And they won't be too hot. The heat won't beat upon them. He meets your needs. He meets your needs in Christ. You see, He's your good shepherd. He's constantly guiding you. If you're His, if you've come into His fold, if you've trusted Jesus, you've become one of His sheep. And He's constantly guiding you and protecting you and providing for you. And we see it right here. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. He who has compassion on them will guide them. You see that? He'll guide you. Continuously. And He'll lead you beside springs of water. He'll guide you to all the best places. And then those mountains that He will turn into highways. I will turn all my mountains into roads, God says. What are your mountains today? What mountains do you have? Well, if you're one of these that has come to Him, you're under His favor. He turns your mountains into roads. That's what He does. That's what our God does. He loves and cares for you. And then also, the Lord loves and cares for others. He not only loves and cares for you, but He loves and cares for others. We see this in verse 12. See, they will come from afar. Some from the north, some from the west, and some from the region of Aswan. Not only does God love and care for you, but He loves and cares for everybody. And He uses you to go, and once you've been loved and cared for, He's sending you out. And He wants to use you as His vessel, and He's going to go and love and care for others through you and bring others into this fold so that they can have all these incredible blessings and all this life, this abundant life. God loves and cares for others. You see, Jesus said, it was said that He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And Jesus mentioned in John chapter 10 that that many would are not yet in this fold. Many have not yet come, Jesus talks about, in the fold to become one of His. There are many out there and they've not yet come. Another way Jesus put it was, He said that the fields are wide unto harvest. The fields are wide unto harvest, but the workers are few. There's all these white fields. They're ready to be picked, but there's just a few workers. So Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest field. What about you? Are you a worker? Are you out there in the harvest? What Jesus is saying is there's people all over the place, scattered throughout, everywhere you go, from your dinner table to the ends of the earth. There's people spread out that don't know the Lord yet. They don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, and they're ready. They're ready to come to Him. They just need somebody to pick them. They're ready. God loves and cares for others, and that's what Matthew 28 is all about. He's sending you out. You've been loved and cared for. Now you go get them. In Matthew 28, He says, therefore, Jesus said right before He ascended to heaven, His last instruction to you and to me, His church, His disciples, is therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, don't ever wonder what your purpose is in life. Don't ever say, I wonder what does God have me here for? Why am I here? You can go straight to Matthew 28. And you can see one of the main purposes, you're still on the earth if you're a Christian, is to make disciples. You're to be making disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And so here's the truth. The Lord loves and cares for you. He loves and cares for others. And the Lord will be praised. That's our third truth. The Lord will be praised. We see that in verse 13. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion on His afflicted ones. The Lord will be praised. There's no stopping that. It doesn't matter whether you choose to now or not. You will one day. But He will be praised. Jesus said when these children, he was coming into Jerusalem, these children were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. And all the religious people were getting really ticked off at that time. These children were calling Him this blessed one coming in the name of the Lord. And Jesus told them, if they be quiet, the rocks will cry out. He will be praised. He will be praised. And you see, it doesn't matter whether you do it now or not. You will one day. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim right now. I was at the Rave Theater last night with Allison. And we were on a date and I was getting some popcorn. And there's a young lady there at the counter. Hadn't no idea, but just went to hand her a pocket cross and just said, would you like to have one of these? They're right out there. You can take as many as you want and use them. Would you like to have one of these? And she saw it and she said, oh, no, that's okay. She said, I'm Muslim. I said, oh, okay. And we talked. But you know, it doesn't matter if you're Muslim. It doesn't matter if you're Buddhist. It doesn't matter if you're an incompleted Jew. You're Jewish, but you're not receiving your Messiah right now. You're rejecting the Messiah right now. It doesn't matter what you are, what you believe. One day, God tells us in Philippians, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Doesn't matter how much of an atheist you are, one day your knees will bow before Jesus and your tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you can do it right now. You can choose to do it now or you can do it then. But He will be praised. Now here's a lie. Okay, we've received the truth in God's Word here this morning. Here's the truth. The Lord loves and cares for you. He loves and cares for others. He will be praised. Now here's a lie. The Lord has forsaken or forgotten you. We see that in the text. See, the Lord has forsaken or forgotten you. We see that in verses 14 to 16. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. And then God responds, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. You see, that's a lie. If you ever have that thought, oh, he's forsaken me. He's forgotten me. He's distant from me. He's way over there. He's left me. That's a lie. You ever feel that way? Feelings are deceiving. Don't operate by your feelings. Operate by your faith. And if someone has moved, if you feel distant from God, oh, he's way over there, he's left me, he's forsaken me. If somebody has moved, it's you. It's not him. He does not move. He loves you infinitely. And so you come back if you've moved. If you feel distant, you come back. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, he tells us in his word. I have a friend that I was talking to not too long ago, and he said that there was a time in his life he felt totally abandoned just by all people and by God. It felt like God just left him, just abandoned him. And this was years ago, and we were recently talking about it, and I was sharing some scriptures with him and things, and he discovered this scripture in Hebrews. And the next time we talked, he said, you know what, man? He said, I just found this verse. And God said in Hebrews, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So you can say with confidence, the Lord, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Well, see, God spoke that to his heart. And he realized way back then, God didn't leave him and abandon him. He said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Maybe he walked away. I don't know what happened. But it wasn't God leaving him. You see, then he mentions this illustration of a mother in verse 15. Can a mother forget that baby at her breast? And you know how it is. Some of you are mothers, and you know how it is when you have that newborn baby. You get that newborn baby, and I've seen mothers. I've seen Allison, and that bond between a mother and an infant. Oh my goodness! If you tried to take that thing from her or something, you know. There is an incredible bond. And God just uses this as an illustration. And even that bond can fall short because, even that can happen. A mother can turn against that. So even that can happen. And God takes account for that. But he uses this illustration. But you've seen it in a good way. You've seen it how a mother is so close to that infant. You've seen that. Or maybe you've experienced that. And God says in verse 15, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? He gives you that illustration. And then he does throw in there, though she may forget. Yeah, it could happen. She might not have that child, whatever. But though she may forget, I will not forget you, with an exclamation point. I will not forget you. Then God goes on to say, see, look at it. Look at the palms of my hands. God goes on to say, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And I just thought about this just now. You know, those nail marks. Think about those in his hands. That was for you. That's how much he loves you. But I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. I read something that Max Lucado wrote, and he said, God has a tattoo. And I believe this is what he was referring to. God has your name on his hand. He's engraved it on his hand. You see, here's a lie. The Lord has forsaken or forgotten you. No. He loves you infinitely. Here's the truth. The Lord loves and cares for you. He loves and cares for others. He will be praised. The lie is the Lord has forsaken and forgotten you. So turn away from that. And so this morning, in our time of prayer, I want to pray and just lead you. And Chris is going to come in just a second. And what is God speaking to you through this? What is he saying to you? What is he saying to your heart? Ask him. Ask him. As Chris leads us in this song, you ask the Lord, Lord, what are you telling me? What do I need to do? Don't ever leave a place just hearing God's word. We've got to do God's word. That's what God says about it. So ask the Lord, as Chris leads us in the song, God, what do you want me to do as a result of what I've heard? What have you been believing? Have you been believing the truth that we just shared, or a lie? Have you been believing that old nasty lie? What have you been believing? Well, maybe you're here this morning, you've believed the lie long enough, and you're ready to believe that truth, and you're ready to come to the Lord, come to Jesus. I'm going to pray in just a second. You can do that. The Lord loves and cares for you. He said that he's guiding you. You're like a sheep that he's guiding. And maybe you know that he's guiding you. What is he telling you? What mountains does he want leveled in your life? What mountains does he want to make into roads? What mountains in your life are hindering you? You going to let him make them roads and highways? Turn to him. As Chris leads us, you pray. You pray. And I'm going to pray. And to get us started. And you pray as Chris leads us. And then as you feel led to sing, you sing. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And Lord, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your truth that you love us and care for us. That you love and care for others. That you will be praised. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that has been believing the lie, Lord, that you have forsaken or you have forgotten them, Lord, help them to turn right now, to have a deep change of mind, to repent, to turn to you, and to say, Lord, I believed that lie long enough. Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm coming back to you. Lord, I believe you died for my sins on the cross, that you're raised from the dead. I know there's nothing I can do to get myself to heaven, to make myself right with you. So I totally turn to you, Jesus, and what you've done for me. I ask you to save me from my sins. Come into my life. Lord, if there's somebody else that, Lord, that you're guiding as their shepherd, and maybe you've guided them here this morning to this place, and maybe you're telling them, this is where you want them to connect. This is where you want them to join in, to follow you, Lord. And if that's your will, Lord, that they become a part of this fellowship and join this church, Lord, lay that on their heart and bring them, Lord. And Lord, if there's someone else with mountains that need to be leveled, Lord, would you do that? Show them what to do. Give them wisdom, Lord. Let them surrender completely to you. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.